First Name Sports starts now.
We're kind of on a first name basis around here.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Okay, let's get started.
From the Sports Map Radio Studios, here's Greg Frank.
All right, well, we reacted to three of the four games from last night. And now let's get to the one that was probably the least interesting because it was the most one-sided, as the Connecticut Huskies make yet another statement, as UConn has been the best team in this tournament. As we sit here now in the middle of the second weekend, 88-65, Connecticut throttles Arkansas, and it didn't really even feel like it was that close. And the way they can come at you in waves with different personnel, and, you know, I talked about it yesterday, just how good Adama Sanogo was the first two games against Iona and against St. Mary's. But then last night, it was the Jordan Hawkins show. And, you know, when you get guards to knock down shots, given the fact that you are going to win the rebounding battle most nights, I don't know how you beat UConn. They jumped right on Arkansas last night. And I think what that has allowed UConn to do is to just settle in and play its game. And all of a sudden, any pressure that you might think is on them kind of goes away when you're already up double digits before anybody can blink. And that's the thing for Connecticut and, you know, for the players and for Dan Hurley. This was a big month because Dan Hurley, who's now in his fifth season at Connecticut, had not won an NCAA tournament game at the school prior to this year. So here we are, and not only are they winning NCAA tournament games, but they're doing it by, you know, as I described earlier in the show, they're doing it in a very soul-eating way, where the opponents, they don't just beat them. They kick them when they're down, and it makes them feel like they have no chance, which in turn makes it almost impossible to come back on UConn when they do get these leads. So I think it's very obvious that Connecticut is deep, confident, and well-coached. And they're not going to get in their own way, and then they can beat the other team in a lot of different ways. So good luck, Gonzaga. And again, Gonzaga's been a program that I think if you're a college basketball purist, you can get behind. And there's a sentimentality there with Gonzaga that I think a lot of people would like to see that the story continue, particularly for Drew Timmy. But when you just look at the way these two schools have been playing, Gonzaga is going to have to play its best game of the tournament. And as much as we can laud Gonzaga for being able to come back and being able to find a way to dig deep in the guts of games and, you know, they're down double digits and they find a way, like, it, that's not going to fly against UConn. Gonzaga's going to have to play 40 minutes of a complete game, and maybe more. It's weird to think that yesterday's Michigan State-Kansas State game was the first game of the NCAA tournament to go to overtime. But right now, it will take a total team effort. It will take a perhaps a bit of a cooperation on UConn's part for UConn to lose. And, you know, it's only going to get harder for UConn. I mean, let's not act like they've won the national championship yet. And certainly Gonzaga, I mean, I think it's only a 1.5-point line in favor of Connecticut tomorrow night in that regional final. So it's not like this is David versus Goliath, and it's not going to be for UConn the rest of the way. I mean, the gap isn't that wide here, but they have been the best team. And I thought this was interesting, too. Connecticut has not lost a non-conference game all season. 12-0 outside of the league. And I think that's a testament to the Big East. And how put together... I stand corrected. They've lost one game, non-conference. But the Big East really is back, and the best it's been since the departures of Syracuse and Pittsburgh and Cincinnati and, you know, all those schools that left a decade ago. So, as far as what lies ahead for UConn, there's certainly more challenging games with Gonzaga tomorrow night, and maybe Timmy outplays Sonogo. I mean, that could certainly happen. But you also have the possibility, and here, how about this for some fun? Perhaps a bit of a long shot, but maybe Xavier in the Final Four in the national semifinal, and Creighton in the national championship, if all three of these Big East teams get to the Final Four. Think about the kind of announcement that would send to the rest of the country about where we're at in the Big East. So, if you're a coach that has to game plan against Connecticut right now, you kind of just have to pick your poison. And I think a lot of that is going to be, okay, how do we limit Adama Sanogo's touches, and how do we keep him off the glass? You know, what can we do to make life difficult for him? And then you have to hope that Hawkins or, you know, whoever else isn't hitting shots. Because there is an element of, okay, well, we'll take our chances here and keep our fingers crossed there. And, you know, Arkansas... It also, by the way, this result did not come as a huge surprise to me. I bet Connecticut laying 4. Because I thought that Arkansas, like, this is also the floor of Arkansas is lower than some of these other teams. And what I mean by that is Arkansas, there's a reason why the Hogs were still an 8 seed in this tournament. And on any given day, they can look good enough to beat a Kansas, but then they can get clobbered by somebody else and not look like they belong in the NCAA tournament. That's why you sit on that 8-9 seed line like the Arkansas Razorbacks were all year, really. I mean, they had all these McDonald's All-Americans, but they were never in a national conversation of, you know, top 5, top 10 team once the year got going. So it is what it is. By the way, I'll correct myself again. They have not lost a non-conference game. Their one loss that when I was looking at their overall record and the conference record, there was one more loss on the overall record than the conference record, but that was in the conference tournament, which does not count towards the conference record. So UConn is undefeated in non-conference games, and they will play another non-conference game tomorrow night against Gonzaga. And then, like I said, the possibility looms for Connecticut to play Xavier in the national semifinal and Creighton in the national championship game. Unlikely, but, you know, like Xavier, that's going to be an entertaining game tonight, Xavier-Texas. If you like offense, those two teams can run up and down and score a lot. And Dylan Dessou was kind of having an out-of-body experience against Penn State with how well he played for Texas last Saturday night. So it would be fun if we got Creighton and Xavier and UConn all to the Final Four. It's unlikely. And I would probably lean to the Texas side of that game. I do think Creighton's going to beat Princeton tonight. I'm just not that juiced about that game. I think that the clock strikes 12 on Cinderella and the Princeton Tigers tonight. And listen, Creighton, if you're getting the Creighton that played Baylor in the round of 32, Creighton could win that South region. I mean, Alabama looked good last weekend, but I think Alabama is stepping up in class tonight against San Diego State and then against Creighton, as opposed to, obviously, a 1-16 game. And I don't think Maryland posed a lot of resistance for Alabama in the round of 32 last weekend. So that's a look around some of the other games tonight. As I said, coming up next, we're going to have Jeremy Branham from UH, as he is the voice of the Cougs and is in Kansas City to preview that regional semifinal tonight. I think that's where the good games are tonight, in Kansas City. If I could have one ticket, I'll take the Kansas City ticket over the Louisville ticket tonight. Miami and UH is the first game at T-Mobile Center in Kansas City, and then it is Xavier and Texas in what a game that, again, should be kind of track meet-esque with the way both of those teams can get up and down the floor. So Jeremy Branham joins us on the other side. Then we'll do our 10th inning, our loosey-goosey sports headlines of the week, and we'll also do our Friday Five, our fun little fun Friday hypotheticals to, some of them are sports headlines, some of them non-sports stuff that happened in the week that was, and all of that is still to come. So those are our final three segments here on a Friday afternoon as we launch you into your weekends. It's not raining. I had to look outside. We've had one of those overcast days here in Houston where you look out and you think, oh, maybe is it going to rain? You step outside, it's a little humid. You feel like it's coming, but hasn't happened yet. Jeremy Branham on the other side. Greg Frank hanging out with you for another 45, 50 minutes. It's First Name Sports on the Sports Map Radio Network.
We've got your tournament coverage right here on the Sports Map Radio Network. Presented by HelloFresh. This spring, HelloFresh is delivering great-tasting recipes that help you stick to your food goals, like new dietitian win options that are under 700 calories. Go to HelloFresh.com/Hoops60 and use promo code Hoops60 to get 60% off plus free shipping. HelloFresh.com/Hoops60 and use promo code HOOPS60. Now, back to the show.
All right, again, our tournament guests all March are brought to you by our friends at HelloFresh. Again, this spring, HelloFresh is delivering great-tasting recipes that help you stick to your food goals, like new dietitian win options that are under 700 calories. Go to HelloFresh.com/Hoops60, code Hoops60, to get 60% off plus free shipping. Let's go back out to the HelloFresh guest line and bring on our buddy Jeremy Branham, the voice of the UH Cougars, as they get set to take on Miami this evening in the Sweet 16 in Kansas City. Jeremy, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Greg. Thanks for having me on the show.
Absolutely. I know you're a busy man. You got to go on your own show next, so we'll be quick here. First off, though, have you swallowed any of your pride as a native Texan and gotten any Kansas City barbecue yet?
Oh yeah. I like Kansas City barbecue. I'm not going to say it's better than Texas barbecue. I would never go that far. But it's two of a very good thing. One can be better. KC barbecue is good. It's not the best.
It's better than Memphis, because I know you go to Memphis a lot.
See, I like Gus's fried chicken whenever I go to Memphis. Now, the thing with Gus is you can get it in Houston now. You can get it all over. Like,
sure.
They've expanded.
Yeah, I've
so
had
much,
Gus's
it's
here.
Not special
yeah.
anymore. Yeah, it's very good.
Okay. All right. Well, let's get to the basketball now. First off, you obviously being the voice of the Cougs, give me some updates on Marcus Sasser and Jamal Shedd. Just obviously they're going to play, but where are they at health wise?
Yeah, I can only go on what they said. They talked yesterday to the media before shoot-around, stuff like that. And Jamal Shedd said it's not a problem. He's 100%. And then Marcus Sasser says he's getting closer and closer to 100%, which aren't we all. He said he'll be about 90%. Both will go. Hopefully will play well.
You get the sense that playing on Friday and not Thursday maybe helped a little bit more for those two?
Yeah, I said that last week. I thought it was a bit of a break. I think that the Cougars got some bad matchups, but I think that the calendar might have helped them. Northern Kentucky, I think, was the best 16 seed. They also do kind of that gimmicky zone matchup that can be pretty tough, the matchup zone. That gave them some troubles, and then they had to play Auburn on the road in Birmingham, basically. So I thought it was a bad draw, but I think the calendar was a good thing. Being able to end up on the final game on Saturday,
right.
Then you have a little bit more time with the Friday tip-off here in Kansas City. So I thought the calendar was good. I didn't think the draw was very good.
Okay, let's get to the matchup with Miami tonight. Obviously, Miami was very impressive against Indiana, and I think should at the very least pose some resistance for UH. I don't know if Miami can win the game, but how do you see this?
Yeah, I think at this time of year, anybody can win, right? Like, yeah. FAU yesterday beat Tennessee. I think that once you get down to the – I honestly think any time in a tournament, anybody can beat anybody, especially nowadays with the transfer portal. We saw a number one seed go down again for the second time in history. Princeton's a 15 seed, still alive in the second weekend of the NCAA tournament. And I think parity has never been better in college basketball with the portal and, you know, restrictions on scholarships compared to, you know, two or three decades ago. So anybody can beat anybody. Miami's got one of the best offenses in the country, so they're capable of outscoring anybody any given night. And when you got Nigel Pack and Wong, the ACC Player of the Year, Poplar, who didn't practice until yesterday after he had that nasty fall in the Indiana game, and then Miller at the four presents some matchup nightmares for anybody because he's got perimeter skills, but he's long, he's big, capable of playing the four. So Miami's terrific offensively. I think one of the best offenses in the country. They can rebound, too. We saw what Amir did against Indiana and the amount of second-chance points they got in the lane as well. And I think that they're underrated defensively. I think you look at defensive metrics and things like that and say, well, your Miami's not great defensively. But whenever they have to, they can guard you. And they got the athletes to do it. Omir's Munster in the middle. So I think they're actually underrated defensively and one of the best offenses in the country.
So it does feel like when you speak about Miami's offensive prowess that the Canes are going to want to try and get up and down and speed this thing up, and Houston might be more comfortable in a half-court game?
Yeah, I think that their styles would speak to that, too. If you watch either team all year, Miami likes to be a little bit more up-tempo. Look for their first best shot. Houston's a little bit more selective. Houston's tempo a little bit sometimes, too, can be skewed a bit because of what they do defensively. I mean, Houston will get up and down with you whenever they, you know, they need to, or whenever they have the opportunity to get out on the break. You know, the reason their tempo is so low when you look at KenPom, things like that, is because they usually hold offenses to shoot late in the shot clock, which, you know, the other team getting a shot late in the shot clock limits the amount of possessions that you have overall for a 40-minute game. But so I think that's a fair assessment. You know, Houston's a little bit more of a half-court offensive team when the fast break is not there. They want Miami to shoot late in the shot clock, and I think Miami's going to try to get up and down a little bit. So I think it's a fair assessment. Miami will try to play fast. Houston will try to play not as fast.
We started talking about Shedd and Sasser and where they're at health-wise, and obviously a lot of eyes always on Caris Walker as he's an NBA prospect for the Cougs. But what did you notice about Tremont Mark? It really felt like he stepped up there when Shedd and Sasser were in foul trouble against Auburn. Kind of just a nice calming presence for the Cougs, somebody that's been through the ringer a bit, found some soft spots and hit some mid-range jumpers. And he's obviously just as important as anybody else on the roster for UH, right?
Yeah, I don't think anybody was really surprised by it, but it was the first time he's done it. It was career high in points, scored 20 of them in the second half, was terrific. I think one of the numbers that goes unnoticed, too, is he had 9 rebounds, which matched a career high. He came to Houston from Dickinson, which is right in the Houston area, and he was, you know, a decorated recruit. And he's had some huge moments as a Houston Cougar. You go back to his freshman year, the COVID year, during the run, actually before the run to the NCAA tournament, hit a buzzer beater against Memphis from near half court, and then had a huge play against Rutgers when he was coming off the bench, had a big tip in and 1 3-point play that kind of changed the momentum in that game and lifted the Cougars to victory. So he's had heroic moments, and his team calls him Team Arch because of those heroic moments. Last year, you know, 2 Cougars got hurt last year on an Elite Eight team. Everybody looks at Marcus Sasser, and rightfully so, an All-American. But Tremont Mark was hurt last year, too. He only played 7 games last season. So he's kind of a guy who gets, from a national perspective, kind of lost behind Sasser a bit. From a local perspective, everybody knows that Tremont Mark is capable of that, but kind of does take a back seat at times to the, you know, Marcus Sasser, Jairus Walker, like you mentioned. And Samson mentioned after that game, he said, look, you know, we know that Tremont Mark's our best isolation player, and we had to go without Jamal Shedd, had to go without Marcus Sasser, that 4,000 piece, which was a nervous moment. Tremont Mark, isolation, and he outscored Auburn by himself in the last 10-50 or whatever it was after Sasser got his 4th foul. So another heroic, legendary performance from Team Arch, if you will.
Jeremy, I'm sure it'll be a topic on your broadcast and with Nance and the national crew tonight, television-wise, but Cougs obviously 2 wins away from becoming the first team to play the Final Four in their home city. Knowing the team the way you know them and knowing Kelvin Sampson the way you know him, is that something that, you know, they'll be able to avoid as a distraction this weekend?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think it really, you know, Samson was asked that yesterday during his press conference. You know, how much do you think about, you know, being able to play the Final Four in Houston? Kelvin was quick to say, well, I don't think about it. You know how good Miami is? Do you know what they can do offensively? You know, they have Jim Larrañaga, who's probably going to be a Hall of Fame coach finalist this year.
Yeah.
So he doesn't look at it, and I believe him. You know, being around some shoot-arounds and some practices, there's no talk of that at all. Does it kind of come into the players' conscience at all? I really don't think so. You know, I think okay. they're a lot of times kind of in their own world, and you know, they're focused on what their coach is telling them. I don't think so. I know Kelvin doesn't. I don't think the players do either.
All right, Jeremy, last one for you. Just the other game tonight in Kansas City. I'm sure you'll stick around for it because it should be highly entertaining. Xavier in Texas. What do you think about that one?
Yeah, how we do is going to determine if I stick around for that one or not, to be honest with you. If we get eliminated, I'm probably going to turn off college basketball for a bit. But if we win, I'll start my preparation a bit on Texas Xavier. I've watched Texas more than I've watched Xavier, just, you know, being from Houston. So yeah. I've seen them quite a bit. I think they're a really good team. I think their team's capable of winning the national championship. I haven't seen Xavier as much, but I know Xavier is really good, too. And you get a Miller coach, and you're going to be a pretty good basketball team. So I think either one of those teams are capable to reach the Final Four, if not win the whole thing. So I think that's going to be a really fun matchup, too, and I hope I'm around to watch it.
Last one, while I do have another 60 seconds, just how much longer do you think Kelvin Sampson is going to keep coaching UH?
It's a great question. You know, I would be lying to you if I told you that I haven't thought about it. I think he's – as long as he wants to. I think that he still has – I know he still has that competitive drive. I know sure. he still has the desire. I can see the fire and the energy that he brings every single day. So I know that that's not going anywhere anytime soon. And he's in really good shape, too. Putting a timetable on it would be difficult. I'll say that he's coaching for at least a few more years. But I could see him going like 7 more years.
Wow.
We're starting to see older and older coaches.
Yeah, how old Larrañaga.
Larrañaga, another one. And I think Samson's in great health. That competitive drive has not gone anywhere. He has family on the staff with Kellen Samson, his top assistant, Lauren Samson, who's the director of basketball operations. So he's loving what he's doing. That competitive drive has went nowhere. I don't see him leaving anytime soon.
All right, there he is, Jeremy Branham, the voice of the UH Cougars. Have a good call tonight, Jeremy, and appreciate your time on the show.
You got it, Greg. Thanks for having me.
All right, again, there's Jeremy Branham. Another 30 minutes to play here on a Friday afternoon. We'll do our 10th inning, weekly Friday benchmark, and our Friday 5 as we get out of Dodge and send you into your weekends. Greg Frank hanging with you for another 30 minutes. First Name Sports, Sports Map Radio.
We're taking you through the brackets on the Sports Map Radio Network, presented by BlueChew.com. Guys, it's all about confidence, and confidence is what you get with the chewables from BlueChew.com. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form at a fraction of the cost. And for Sports Map Radio listeners, try Blue Chew free when you use our promo code MADNESS at checkout. That's BlueChew.com, promo code MADNESS, to receive your first month free. Now, back to the show.
All right, we're back here on a Friday afternoon. Belmer, before we get to the 10th inning, I have a question for you. Seeing what you would do. This is kind of a Friday 5-ish question, but it literally just popped up on my phone. So I just got a text from a number that's not saved in my phone, but it's a Philly area code, and you know, so maybe I know the person. And the person just, like, out of nowhere texted, "This number has been in my phone for a while, but I don't know who it is. Who are you?" Are you answering that text?
You messaged me. Who are you?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
That's what you say. Yeah, who are you? Don't ask me who I am.
You would answer that, though.
Yes, you texted me.
Okay. All right. So, because I thought about ignoring it.
Oh, I mean, I would answer it just because you never know. I mean, it could be, you know,
somebody that I haven't, you know, I've been like, oh, how are you?
And chances are maybe they're in the radio business. I don't know. I'm just saying, you know, maybe don't ignore it. But still, it's weird that you reach out to somebody and you're like, who are you?
Yeah, I've had this phone for 3 years. So there would have been a text history would have popped up even if it was like from 2 years ago.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. I'd be too curious not to answer.
Okay, I probably will answer.
But I would tell them they have to prove to me who they are because they reached out to me.
Sure. All right, fun Friday benchmark, which we do here towards the end of the show. We like to talk about some of the headlines that might have slipped through the cracks from the last 5 days. Let's get to the 10th inning.
All right, let's get to it. Was a little bit of a slow week with the tournament going on with some of these extra stories. But the first one is actually tournament related, Sweet 16 related too. I did not realize this, and I haven't heard anybody mention it. But Tennessee and FAU's ADs, the Furman hashtag.
Yeah.
Tennessee and FAU's ADs are brothers. Did you realize this? Danny and Brian White, the two teams that clashed off last night in the Sweet 16, have family ties behind the scenes. I think that we have these stories every year where these kind of weird family.
We had the Harbaugh Bowl the one year in the Super
Harbaugh Bowl.
Yeah.
I just think this is an interesting wrinkle to it.
I think that's maybe less stressful on the families because they're not, like, the ADs aren't coaching, right?
Oh,
like,
no. Yeah, like, exactly.
They're just kind of, you know, in this funky situation where the schools overlap, but they're not actually involved in the game planning and the strategizing. So that's pretty cool.
Pretty interesting matchup, yeah. Tom Brady is back in the news.
I saw this. Yeah,
Tom Brady is now a part owner of the Las Vegas Aces, the WNBA team in Las Vegas out there. Now, does this say anything about Brady's connection to the Raiders in any way? I know they got Garoppolo, but I know last year Dana White had this thing where he said that the Raiders were a lock for Brady and it didn't work out. It's just weird that he's purchasing it to the Las Vegas Aces. But Brady's the first person I would have expected to get into ownership. I just didn't expect it to be WNBA.
Yeah, and that's why I was going to say, if it wasn't Vegas, would he still be buying into an NBA, WNBA team?
It's a good question.
You know,
that Vegas market is hot right now for sports franchises.
Well, and it sounds like it'll only be a matter of time before Major League Baseball gets there, whether the A's relocate or if there is expansion. So, yeah, I mean, they got a Final Four coming. They have the West Regional right now. They just got a Final Four. They have the Super Bowl next year. So, I think that Final Four is not until like 29 or 2030. But it's weird to me that it took so long to tap into that Vegas market, right? Because growing up, back when sports gambling was much more negatively stigmatized,
exactly,
it was like, oh, well, you got to go to Vegas to do it. And I was like, well, wait a second. So you got to go to Vegas to bet on sports, but you can't watch live sports in Vegas, at least pro sports, you know? And UNLV was the only big-time college team there, which if you're my age, you know, you don't think of UNLV as anything that was all that special. So it's about time.
Absolutely.
Because look what happened. I mean, I know people down here aren't big into hockey, but the Golden Knights and the fanfare and the presentation that they seemingly put on there, and then they went to the final the first year that they existed. So there was a market that was waiting to be tapped into for these pro sports leagues, and they're all getting there now.
Absolutely. And it's good to see all of them moving there now and not being afraid, right? That the players
gambling,
are going to get it.
Right. Yeah.
Not even that, too. It's like it's Sin City. You're afraid your players are going to go out and have too much fun every
America's
night.
America's playground. Yeah.
America's playground. And also, I think it'd be interesting to see the A's out there, too. I seen yesterday the A's are the fifth most valuable MLB franchise,
okay, really?
Which I was so shocked at. But
Matt Dump, they're playing
they'll fit right in Vegas, though, won't they? An interesting NBA quote from this week. Patrick Beverly says he does not have intercourse the night before games. I guess keeping fresh legs. Do you subscribe to not having intercourse before a big game?
Well, I'll tell you what. Let's connect Pat Beverly with our friends at Blue Chew, and you know we'll make sure that there's some off season.
So you can go those extra rounds,
off season, product for Pat. But the night before he doesn't do this, huh?
Yeah,
I mean, see, the weird thing is, like, I could get if you had some kind of routine, like if you're a baseball player, you didn't want to do it before day game, but the night before, like, you got the whole day the next day. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a little weird.
A little hokey.
It's a little weird, unless you're putting all your energy, unless it's like a full, like, two-hour type workout scenario. I mean, I'm just saying, I don't see how this affects the game the next day. You know, I've seen it, I've heard it over the years, like college coaches, high school coaches, they try to make sure their players don't have intercourse before the game, but I never understood the reasoning behind it. Maybe they know something. We don't know.
Something about physical health.
Something, yeah. Maybe they're too distracted or something. I don't know. Blue Jays star Vladimir Guerrero Jr. pulled up to spring training in his brand new tricked out Mercedes-Benz SUV, which I thought was incredible looking. The inside leather on the seats is that Blue Jays blue. Oh. It looks fantastic. It reminds me of, I think it was OBJ, I want to say, pulled up to Browns training camp in that brown Mercedes-Benz SUV with the Browns logo on the front.
Oh,
wasn't it
okay.
him that did that? It's very reminiscent of that.
I do kind of remember that, yeah. What's your thoughts on making statements like that going into a preseason, like a hot ride, whatever your fashion statement might be. If some guys do that when they roll into games, you're all for it.
I think it sets a precedent. Yeah, if you look good, you play good.
if you play good,
you feel good, right?
All right.
I mean, hey. Last one here,
yeah, last
a little
one.
Bit up your alley. Your guy, Bruce Springsteen, okay. he's making people
What's
go
doing?
Broke, man. In Buffalo, he is performing. It was actually last night, but seats are going for as much as $5,000. What is going on here, man?
Well, why are you blaming Bruce? Well,
because
like, if the secondary market wants to say it costs that much to see him, then it costs that much to see him. Don't
so,
go.
So the average ticket price is the mid 200s, right? That's what they're saying. He's charging $5,000 for tickets. I know you could say don't go, but like, I mean, Taylor Swift and Beyonce have the same kind of criticism right now too with the ticket
Let
prices
me ask
it
you,
takes
are
to
you,
get in.
Is there a musical performer who you're okay with in terms of like that pricing being accepted?
No, never.
No, none of them are.
Not a chance, no.
Yes.
Not a single person is worth me paying $5,000 for.
Do you go to concerts?
Yeah, I've been to a couple
and
concerts.
What would you normally, like going rate for a concert price that you'd pay?
The last one I went to, I paid $65 for the ticket.
Upper level? Like,
it was
heating or?
It was actually more of a personal thing. Like, there was probably about 200 people there, and so I was right up front.
It was really intimate.
It was awesome.
Like an underground band
or
something?
Yeah, just a guy that's not as popular. But I paid $65 to get in because it's a really nice venue. And
okay.
That's just kind of what he was
now,
charging.
Now, who's the most popular artist you've seen perform live?
The most popular, Drake, and Lil Wayne. No, it was at, the Cynthia Woods Mitchell Pavilion out in, the Woodlands. It was a while ago. It was when
Now how many people were there?
Oh, probably about 10,000 maybe.
Oh, that's it.
It's a big venue and it was completely packed.
Okay. And how much did that, do you remember how much that ran you?
I actually won the tickets on the radio.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. It's pretty awesome.
There you go.
But no, I didn't pay to get in, but I would never, ever spend anything close to that.
What would you have paid for that experience?
200 tops,
okay.
If I'm really into you, if I'm interested.
Do you think, like, I'm just asking you to hypothesize a little bit here, like, could that have gotten you in 200, like, to that event?
Yes. Yeah, okay. Probably.
Okay.
Would you pay $5,000 to see Bruce?
Absolutely not. I was on the fence of if I should pay $3,000 to see the Eagles in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's true.
Now, I got there.
Yeah,
the
you
fact
did.
That
but it's the Eagles in the Super Bowl. I mean, it's much bigger than, you know, your favorite artist.
Well,
if you're a sports
person. But my point is, if I have to think about $3,000 for the Eagles for the Super Bowl, I damn sure I'm not thinking about $5,000 for any musical performer. I don't care who it is. So there we go. There's your extra innings for Friday, March the 24th, as we will take one final timeout on this final Friday. No, penultimate Friday in March. 1 week from today will be March 31st, as we wrap things up with our Friday 5 on the other side. John Bellmer, our producer. My name is Greg Frank. One final segment to send you into the weekend. It's First Name Sports, Sports Map Radio.
Taking you through the brackets on the Sports Map Radio Network, presented by BlueChew.com. Guys, it's all about confidence, and confidence is what you get with the chewables from BlueChew.com. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form at a fraction of the cost. And for Sports Map Radio listeners, try Blue Chew free when you use our promo code MADNESS at checkout. That's BlueChew.com, promo code MADNESS, to receive your first month free. Now, back to the show.
All right, Bellmer. Well, I did get a text back from the person who's like, somebody I don't know.
Oh,
like,
it's somebody you don't know
like,
at
and
all?
They sent me a picture, and she's like, this is me. I'm just like, fortunately she had clothes on, but it was pretty weird.
That is weird, man. Did you date her at some point? Or?
No. Like, I don't know. There's weirdos out there. You know,
you got a stalker, maybe?
You know what? My thing is, with as many things as you have to put your number into, you know, for websites and, you know, the amount of things that, like, websites that ask you a required field is to put your phone number in, it just gets around so much. It goes back to what we're talking about with the scammers at gas stations and...
Yeah, but this is an individual. It's not like a company. It's weird.
Well, there's some sick individuals out there.
Yeah, I see.
All right, let's get to our Friday Five as we like to wrap up all Friday shows with a lot of would you rather hypothetical style questions from the week that was in sports. And obviously, we are talking all things college basketball here in the end of March. And so I ask you, John Belmer, which winning feeling is better if you want to win in the style that Gonzaga or Kansas State won in last night, where it's real competitive and thrilling and entertaining? Or do you just want to be UConn, where you're not sweating it out and you're just kicking everybody's rear ends and everybody's saying, wow, they're the best team?
I think I'd want to be the best team and kick everybody's rear end. But I wouldn't be disappointed at the competition, the fun of getting into a scrap like that, right? Because you want to beat the best. You want to go against the best. You want somebody's best when you play them. But at the same time, you want to dominate everybody,
yeah,
too. I think I would go with the domination.
I would go with the domination as well, because think about it. In the West region, you have Gonzaga, who just had this amazing win come back last night. And we're saying, well, now you got to play UConn. So it's like, yeah, you had a nice moment last night, but now you got to play the team that's kicking everybody's butt. So I agree. I'd want to be the dominant team. Go ahead.
Hey, real quick, add something. If you told me that I was the one hitting the game-winning shot, though, I'm choosing the close. I want the close game because I want that throw.
So
that'd be
awesome.
So if
you were Marquise Noel for Kansas State or Julian Strother for Gonzaga, perhaps.
That's what I'd want. Yep.
Okay, fair enough. All right, we didn't get dive as deep into this today, but we are going to address it. There's some more oddities and weirdness with Lamar Jackson, as we find out yesterday that he has a friend named Ken Francis, who was reportedly negotiating with teams on his behalf. I don't know what's going on here, but I am going to make you Ken Francis, and I am going to allow you to be Lamar Jackson's agent. What are you telling Lamar?
That is a weird situation with this Ken Francis thing. Came out of nowhere. I
he
don't
should
know,
be guest
man.
On this show, First Name Sports.
Hell
Ken
yeah.
Francis. Right?
Let's get him on here. I don't know, man. I think I would tell Lamar to trust himself and go out and see what he can find here. Look, I'm not going to tell a man what he's worth, and if Lamar feels like, hey, I've seen that contract get given to Deshaun Watson and I want it, I'm not going to tell him not to go after it. And I think a team eventually will, like, he'll eventually get that. It's something close to what Deshaun.
So?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think he will.
Here's where I say, hold on a minute. Would you, if you are Lamar Jackson's agent and he says, if I do not get a contract to my liking, I'm not going to play the year on the franchise tag. I'm going to sit out a year. I'm going to do a Le'Veon Bell. Would you advise against that? Or for that, would you say, you know, how would you handle that?
Look, I would say no quarterback wants to sit out a year, right? Quarterback's about being sharp and
so
accurate.
So he should play the year
he
on the
should
tag.
Play. He should play on the tag, absolutely. He should not take a year off. I think that devalues you more as a quarterback. You're rusty. You come back very rusty.
If I am Lamar's agent, I'm going to tell him, you can take this thing up until the middle of July, which is the deadline for franchise tag players to get long-term deals. And then whether it is via another team or the Ravens, you need to take the best deal that's out there, because you're playing a position that, especially the way you play, we've seen it the last couple of years. You've gotten hurt, and if you do that again, your value is not going up. So I am telling him, I'm fine with you stretching this thing out now that other teams can negotiate with you, and you know, now it's not just the Ravens. You know, you can canvas the market with all the teams in the National Football League. But once you've done however you feel is the appropriate amount of canvassing, you need to take the best deal.
So you're saying like bet on yourself, but only to an extent.
Because you should value that long-term security at least a little bit.
I understand that. Yeah, I just the hope is that you move forward and don't get injured. Like you're able to stay healthy, and then your value is there.
And I'm telling you, I don't know that I want to play that game.
Yeah, I understand.
But I'm the agent, not the player, so he can fire me, you know, and do what he wants. All right, we mentioned Jeremy Branham being in Kansas City, a voice of the Cougs, and Jeremy works for us here at our company and is a native Houstonian. So I ask you this. We asked him about the Kansas City barbecue, and, you know, sometimes I'm sure that's something that Houstonians and Texans will really puff their chests out about, proud about their barbecue being better than everybody else's. Feel free to say the barbecue or anything else. I know you're from this area. What is a cultural hallmark from the area that you're from that you will go to bat for and claim is better than anybody else?
You know, from Houston specifically, I can't claim barbecue because Texas as a whole.
It's the whole state, right.
I think is the way to go about that. And I've been thinking about this ever since I've seen it on the rundown. Houston is such a...
Yeah, I was going to say, you had a few hours to think about it. Yeah.
There's so many different people here that have moved here. There's not a lot of Houstonians born and raised from Houston, so it's kind of hard to put your finger on one. I would say maybe NASA. Like, we have the space station. Houston was the first word ever spoken on the moon. It's probably... And then if you want to talk about, like, something we claim here that's better than everybody else, I'll say the baseball team. Does that work for you?
There you go. That works. You know, I came up with two for me. Grew up in the Philly area. I'll take our history over the other 13 colonies. You know, America's birthplace was Philadelphia, and I just had some friends that I've known for a little while that were in the Philly area who I was showing around, and we did some historic Philadelphia stuff, saw the Liberty Bell. But as far as something that is a cultural hallmark that I'll say is better, listen, nothing against the other Northeast markets that are good sports markets, but I got to go with our fans. I have to go with the craziness.
The crazies, I was just about to say.
I have to. So that's what I would do for me in terms of a cultural separator for the Philly area. All right, next one. NCAA tournament in Vegas this weekend, and we know we got some friends at the company here that are out there in Sin City. I'm giving you one long weekend to be in Vegas. A lot of people like that first weekend of the NCAA tournament because if you're a gambler, there's more games to bet on. But this weekend, the tournament is in Vegas. It doesn't have to be a sports trip. Any reason whatsoever, any trip to go to Vegas, I've never been. What are you going to Vegas for?
So I've actually never been to Vegas. So if you gave me this opportunity, it would be experience everything as quickly as like during that whole trip. So I'd get there. Marijuana's legal, so I'd definitely indulge in that. I might pull a John Morant minus the gun, go to the club, have a lot of fun.
You're going to try and pack it all in.
I'm going to try to pack it.
A little bit of each thing.
All in. Yeah, I'm going to go to the casinos and play some slots, play some blackjack,
everything.
So you're
going to do basically an all Vegas weekend where you're not going out there for an event. That's already there, like the NCAA tournament or a Raiders game.
I might, I would probably base it around a UFC event that
UFC.
Was at the Apex.
Okay, I'm wondering what would get you out there. Yeah. See, for me, I don't think it would be a sports thing. I think I would want to go on a bachelor party out there.
Oh,
you know, where
okay.
I just go out there with my boys and, you know, drink and just do all sorts of weird stuff.
I think I would also, like, it would have to be a party bus. I would have to get a party bus. I think that's, like, synonymous with it.
America's Playground,
yeah,
like we said.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Last
I'd have
one.
Fun.
Tom Brady, we talked about it, acquiring ownership stake in a WNBA team. What is a post-career business venture that these athletes indulge in that you would be most interested in? Of course, if you had the financial means.
I think I kind of just touched on it on the last one. I think I would start a dispensary. I would go in and have my own strain of marijuana. I would take that route. Several athletes have gone that way. I think I would go that way as well.
See, I'd probably get into the filmmaking, like TV show stuff. Like,
oh, that's interesting, too.
I don't know that I would. Maybe I would. I wouldn't be afraid of the camera. Maybe I would want my own role in something. But being able to kind of craft my own work and work with these guys, because you do see some of that as well. And that's why people say LeBron's going to the Lakers, right? It's Space Jam and all the things that aren't basketball related that you can do.
You got the name for
SoCal.
It, by the way. Greg Frank, Brad Pitt. Like,
it
works.
Right, one syllable each name. There we go. All right, there's our Friday Five for, obviously, a Friday. And that is going to wrap things up for us on this Friday afternoon. Everyone, enjoy the rest of your Fridays. I don't know how many more times I can say Friday as we get out of Dodge here on a Friday as it's the weekend. March Madness regional semifinal action in Kansas City and in Louisville tonight. We're back on Monday. We'll have a Final Four in place the next time we're on the air. Thanks to John Bellmer for producing all week. My name is Greg Frank, signing off. First Team Sports, Sports App Radio.